Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Vallabha Girivardhari Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Vallabha Girivardhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Manachari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Vallabha Girivardhari Girivardhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Manachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Vallabha Girivardhari Gopijana Vallabha Girivardhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Manachari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jayam Vishnupad Paramham Saparvajakacharya Astur Sri Srimad His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Anantakoti Vaishnavarinda Ki ISKCON Samastapakacharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Sagaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Guru Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavanam Ki Jai Shri Mayapur Navadvipadam Ki Jai Gangamai Ki Jai Jamunamai Ki Jai Tosi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki, Samavir Bhaktivinoda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Today we're reading from Canto 4, Chapter 25, The Characteristics of King Paranjana, Verse 16. Sabha Chatvara Rataya Bir Akhidayana Panai Akridaya tanapanai Chaitya Dvaja Batakabir Yuktam Midruma Vedabihi Shabha Chatvara Ratyabhi Akrida yatana panehi Chaitya dvaja patakha bir Yuktam vidroma vedabhi Shabha chatvara ratya bir Akridayatana panai Chaitya dvaja patakabir Yuktam vidruma vedabhi Please chant. Shabha Chatvara Ratyabhi Akridaya Tapna Panahi Chaita Dvaja Patakabhi Yuktam Vidruma Vedabhi Shabha Chatvara Ratyabhi Akhidayatana panahi Jeta dvaja patakka bhi Iktam viduma veda bhi Sabachatvara ratta bhi Akhidayatana panahi Chaitadvaja Patakrabir Yuktam Vidurma Vedabhi Shava Chatra Yattayabhi Akadaya Tanapanahi Chaitadvaja Patakrabir Yuktam Vidurma Vedabhi. Ladies, Shabha, assembly houses, Chatvara, squares, Ratyavihi, streets, Akridyantana, gambling houses, Apanahi, shops, Chaita, resting places, Dvajapata Kabi. With flags and festoons, Yuktam, decorated, Vidruma, without trees, Vedabhi, with platforms. Translation and purport. In that city, there were many assembly houses, street crossings, streets, restaurants, gambling houses, markets, resting places, flags, festoons, and beautiful parks. All these surrounded the city. In this way, the capital is described. In the capital, there are assembly houses and many squares, many street crossings, avenues and streets, many gambling places, markets, and places of rest, all decorated with flags and festoons. The squares are surrounded with railings and are devoid of trees. The heart of the body can be compared to the assembly house, for the living entity is within the heart, along with the Paramatma, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 5:15. Sarvasya chaham riddhi sannidhisto mattasmitir gyanam apohanam cha. The heart is the center of all remembrance, forgetfulness, and deliberation. In the body, the eyes, ears, and nose are different places for attraction, for sense enjoyment, and the streets for going hither and thither may be compared to different types of air blowing within the body. The yogic process for controlling the air within the body and the different nerves is called Sushumna, the path of liberation. The body is also a resting place, because when the living entity becomes fatigued, he takes rest within the body. The palms and the soles of the feet are compared to flags and festoons. Oma Gana Timurandasya Ganjana Shalakaya Chakshusum Midi Tam Jena Tasmai Sri Kurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobeshtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uttapar Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sagran Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savarutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitam Scha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagat Pate Gopi Shagopika Kanta Radhakanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavan Ishvari Vrishvanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Manchakalpatarubhyas Chakripa Sindhubhye Bacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namo Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Sabha Chat Bara Ratya Bhi Akrida Atyantana Panahi Chaita Dvajja Patakka Bhi Yuktam Vidruma Vedabhi Yesterday in the purport, Prabhupada pointed out that the heart in the body is considered to be the capital of the city of the body. And this verse continues the description of the capital. The capital city. In the past year or two since I have been in Mumbai, I have been in Europe, and I have visited some capital cities, Stockholm, Riga, London, Athens, Brussels, the capitals are decorated with flags and festoons. And here the flags and festoons are analogous to the palms of the hand and the soles of the feet. With the palm of the hand, we wave, just like a flag waves. We say hello or goodbye. This is one of the first things a baby learns to do. before a baby can talk. Maybe a baby can say, Mama, Papa. But then other people come to him and talk to him. And he can't talk yet. He doesn't know words. So his parents teach him to wave your hand. Say hello. And the soles of the feet, they're also compared to the flags and the festoons. In the capital city, Athens, I saw the soldiers in front of the palace. And the soldiers' feet were moving. The soles of the feet of the soldiers were even displayed. When the soldiers walked, they would raise their feet in such a way that you could even see the soles of the feet. They raised their legs so high. They were parading. It was an official parade. It was a show. It was part of the show of the capital, the palace. The soldiers, the guards, they were stepping in such a way that they were showing, we're the guards, this is the palace, this is the capital. So these are the things you see in the capital cities. But this is an analogy for the city of the body, and the capital is the heart. And the assembly place is compared to the heart. Why? And the purport Prabhupada says the assembly place is compared to the heart because the living entity is within the heart along with the Paramatma. And then the purport describes the squares. They're sometimes surrounded by railings, and there are no trees there. They're just spaces for people to move in these squares. Big squares. Usually there's some big squares in front of the Parliament House, and people can move freely. Some trees might be there just to decorate, but not many trees like in a park. In the body, the eyes, the ears, and the nose are different places of attraction for sense attraction. And the streets are compared to the airs moving within the body. This word, ratthai, ratyabhi. We have the Ratha Yatra, so the Ratya, like the street, Ratha Yatra, the cart that goes on the street, the Ratha, Ratya, here the streets. The squares, Chatvara, Sabha, the assembly house, that's where the soul and the super soul are. This is the important place. And the resting place is also there sometimes in the capital, Chatya. There, this is compared to the body. The soul takes rest within the body. So now we are performing the activities of remembering and forgetting. And deliberating. We're deliberating now on the Bhagavatam. We're trying to remember Krishna, just as Parikshit Maharaj did with his spiritual master. Remembering Krishna is in the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness means the light of knowledge, spiritual knowledge. And forgetfulness of Krishna is the mode of ignorance. Sleeping, maybe.
Ignorance means no power to see God. Sometimes people challenge the devotees, "Can you show me God?" They claim, "I cannot see God. You cannot show me God." Ignorance. But of course you can see God. You just have to be qualified. Krishna makes it so simple. He says, "I'm even the taste of water. Don't you drink water? Can't you taste water? I'm that taste." But normally people are covered over so much. They're in the mode of ignorance. They're covered by these capital cities in the world. The big display of the material energy, all the capital cities, all the designations, the countries. This acts like a curtain of Maya. So the knowledge, the light of knowledge is obscured, covered. And anyway, people are foolish. They are rascals. They're in the mode of passion. They're very much attracted to sense enjoyment. They're very much attached to this sense gratification. The tendency is therefore very strong work in the mode of passion. Like in Mumbai, the streets are crowded with cars. There's so many traffic jams. Very strong tendency to work. We can compare it to a chili. That's a very strong taste, especially for a Westerner. We sing about the Chatur Vidha Sri Bhagavat Prasado Svadana Triptin. Svadana Triptin means very palatable food. So for the Indian people, maybe especially, the chili is palatable. But for a Westerner, it's very strong, hot taste. And the work in the mode of passion is compared to that chili. It's called Ugra Karma, very strong work that the people will do. They'll build up their cities with very difficult endeavor. They'll make these very big buildings. I heard a tape recently of Srila Prabhupada speaking in Mayapur, but he was speaking about New York and about the World Trade Centers. He said now they are building the 100-story building. He asked the devotees, "How many stories is it?" And somebody said, "It's 110. So the two twin towers. And Prabhupada said, "What do they need this big tower for? You can live comfortably just on the second floor or third floor." And even if they build higher, still, it's unlimited. You can go higher and higher. There's no limit. You can keep building. But anyway, even you build the highest, it'll come down to the lowest at some point. Either it'll be destroyed by time, or in the case of the Twin Towers, destroyed tomorrow is the anniversary of the destruction of the Twin Towers, 9/11. They weren't destroyed because airplanes hit them. They withstood the impact of the airplanes. They were built according to the highest standards. They were extremely strong buildings. The airplanes didn't even push them over. And the fire from the gasoline was not strong enough to bring the towers down. So if you look at the evidence there are engineers, there are airplane pilots, there are firemen who are experts in understanding how buildings stand and why buildings fall. And if you look at the evidence, how the whole structure turned to dust. And the whole two towers collapsed, just like in a free fall. If you look at all the evidence, it appears that there was a demolition of the building, that it was planned. So maybe there was some complicity. Maybe the government maybe the demonic influence to control, to raise a false flag. They say raise a false flag. That means you show that something happens, like a building burns down, a building is destroyed. And then you say, it was caused by the Islamic terrorists. They hijacked the airplanes. They flew the airplanes into the towers. So we can blame the Islamic terrorists. That's a false flag. They did. They maybe hijacked the airplanes through. But that was not the cause of the demolition of the buildings. But to make it very dramatic, like a sinking of a ship. Sometimes in history, a ship is sunk by a government, and then it's blamed on another country, and then there's a cause for war. So similarly with the World Trade Towers, the demons could have planned very expertly how to put high explosives in the building along the steel beams. This could even have been painted on the beams when the building was built. It could have been done years in advance. So the demons may sometimes plot and plan in such a way that they have excuses to carry out wars, to control the resources of the world, to kill people. They're plunderers. In Kali Yuga, the leaders are plunderers. They're not some nice guys. We should learn from the Bhagavad Gita what Krishna says about the demons. So Srila Prabhupada, he told us just to understand Krishna is very difficult. Krishna is beyond our ability to understand. Maya is covering us, and we're fools and we're rascals. We're in the modes of ignorance and passion. And besides that, Krishna is beyond our sense perception. We may try. The philosophers, the religionists, they may try to understand God. They have so many words to describe God. They combine all the letters of the alphabet, A to Z, or A to Ksha. You have in Sanskrit, Aksha, Aksha, Aksaja, Aksaja, whatever is produced, Aksaja, from the letters A to the end, Ksha, or in English, A to Z. So many words, so many thoughts can be expressed by words, but that kind of speculation isn't enough to reveal Krishna. He's called Adhoksaja. Adha means he cannot be conquered by speculation. So we need jnana, we need the light of knowledge coming from the Supreme, or the representative of the Supreme, the spiritual master. With this jnana, with the light of knowledge, it has a result. It has a result, the jnana. The light of knowledge doesn't put us to sleep. The light of knowledge makes us detached. It makes us unattached. The jnani is not interested. The karmi is very interested. Karmi is very interested in sense gratification. But the jnani, not interested, he's disinterested. A couple of days ago, when we were in Srila Prabhupada's room listening to the lecture, he said that bhakti without jnana, without detachment, is just a kanishta adhikari platform. Our bhakti may be just kanishta, beginning stage, some sentimental stage of attachment to Krishna, without jnana. But he said, with jnana, bhakti is uttama adhikari. So also Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he taught Vairagya Vidya, Nija Bhakti Yoga. Vairagya, we need detachment and we need knowledge to go with our bhakti. So the Bhagavad Gita is so important. Bhagavatam is so important to develop knowledge and detachment. And also yoga can be important. Prabhupada mentions in the purport the yoga process for controlling the air within the body. The air within the body are like the streets in the capital. So there's so many streets, we're moving on the streets. We're moving, trying to fulfill our desires. But the jnani, he wants to control the desires. The yogi also. So Prabhupada mentions the yoga process for controlling the air within the body and the different nerves is called Shushumna. Shushumna, that's the path of liberation. You can become liberated from the material desires. This is practiced by pranayama. If you practice inhalation and exhalation and using the muscles of the abdomen, there's one big yogi in India, I don't remember his name, he's teaching this in the stadiums. He fills the stadiums with people and he teaches people how to do these breathing exercises because he wants them to control the life airs and in that way to have some control over their nervous system and their desires. When our senses are attracted by sense objects, through the eyes or through the ears, we hear some music or we want to talk to a beautiful person that we see, the nervous system is affected. The nerves affect the brain and the rest of the senses. The senses can become agitated for contact with material sense objects. But there's some way to control this. This is a yoga process, pranayama. So this one person in India, you know him maybe, his name, but he's teaching people to practice and to give up sense gratification, soda drinks, cigarettes, all these things. And this is also recommended by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. When Arjuna asks, how does someone sit, how does someone speak who's fixed in knowledge, who has wisdom? Krishna says he's not attracted by what is usually attractive or repulsive. He's not usually repulsed by what's usually repulsive. He's situated in knowledge, and he withdraws his senses like the turtle. But even for someone who's trying to do this, Krishna says, it's possible to be attracted, distracted by even one sense that can carry away the mind. I was once sitting with Srila Prabhupada in Texas in a garden, and he said that if you can control the tongue, you can control all the senses. So yoga, our yoga process, bhakti, begins with the tongue, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And with submissive hearing, just being willing to hear submissively, like this. Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, 1st verse. Maya sakta mana partha, yoga yunjan, marashrayaha. Just to fix the mind and hear by hearing from him. Then you can know Krishna completely. Srila Prabhupada gave more lectures on that verse of the Bhagavad Gita, Maya Sakta Manapartam, than any other verse in the Bhagavad Gita. About 20 or 25 lectures on that verse, because submissive hearing is so important. So that's our qualification. We just want to hear submissively from Srila Prabhupada. We're sure he's the representative of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Krishna, Srimati Radharani, Lalita, Vishakha, Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra. But we need help from Balaram. On Lord Balaram's appearance day, it was stressed that the sword of knowledge, Krishna gives the sword of knowledge, but the strength to hold the sword of knowledge comes from Balaram. Okay, I'll stop there. Please ask some questions.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you for a nice session, Prabhuji. My question is that you are emphasizing on sense control, but then where does the determination for sense control comes from?
Where does the determination come from for sense control? It can come from the results that you get when you practice. Then your buddhi awakens, your higher intelligence. Then you perceive the truth. That gives you determination. Vyavasayatmika buddhi. In Arjuna's case, he was instructed to get that determination to fight. We don't have to fight battles. We're not soldiers. We're not out on the battlefield. Although that's a good place. Even for yoga, many things are determined on the battlefields. And some class of society has that determination to fight. Of course, we're just trying to be determined to fight the inner battle, to conquer over the demands of the senses. So we get also determination to do that through good association. Persons who are succeeding can inspire us. When I joined ISKCON, I had an idea that Srila Prabhupada was someone special. You know, I didn't hear about a guru until I came in touch with the Hare Krishna movement. I didn't grow up with the idea of a guru, approaching a guru. So it was all new. But what I was learning about Srila Prabhupada, I could understand he was someone special. And it became clearer as I learned more that someone who's a bhakta He engages the senses in the service of the proprietor of the senses. He recognizes Krishna as the proprietor of the body and the senses. And he serves the proprietor. So I saw that Srila Prabhupada was such a surrendered servant to Krishna. He was dedicating everything in his old age to Krishna's service and taking great pains to serve Krishna by preaching to others and inviting so many other people to take up the service of Krishna, opening temples so that the Westerners could move in and practice Krishna consciousness. So I was inspired that Srila Prabhupada is certainly my spiritual master. He's the greatest servant of Krishna. So we get determination from the great souls. Another question?
Hare Krishna. Roji, can you share something about Prabhupada, which any pastime of Prabhupada which really fascinated you, like which always is in your mind?
Always in my mind. My mind is not always fixed. But Srila Prabhupada's books are so important, and Prabhupada's lectures. To be a follower, we just have to hear submissively and try to apply what Prabhupada is teaching. And we'll join Srila Prabhupada. It's possible to look ahead to the conclusion of this life. Obviously, this body, we give it up. And then we look ahead. Where will I be? Will I join Srila Prabhupada in ecstatic devotional service to Krishna in the spiritual world? Of course, then Srila Prabhupada will not be in the dress of a sannyasi. He'll not appear like an older person. He has his eternal form. So also we have our eternal form. So by studying Bhagavad Gita, we will understand our eternal self. This is very, very special knowledge. We have to focus now on understanding the soul within the body. That and how to act as the soul. When you talk about remembering always Srila Prabhupada, it's also remembering the super soul. Srila Prabhupada is the representative of the super soul. And he's very close to us. And similarly, Prabhupada is very close to us by his books and instructions. We can, anytime we have a few minutes, we can pick up a book and read or turn on a tape and hear. And we're with Prabhupada. But even they're very close to us. We're sometimes far away. So we have to pull the mind back. Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master recommended beating the mind in the morning and in the evening with a broom or a shoe. The Hare Krishna mantra is like a broom or a shoe to beat the mind with. So we have to control the mind. Another question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Where are you? Hare Krishna.
Lord Krishna demanded full surrender, whereas Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just said, chant Mahamantra. So, is it a sort of a big concession given or change of policy?
Did Krishna, who said full surrender, and Lord Chaitanya, who said just chant Hare Krishna, did they have different policies? Was there kind of a concession? Yes. It's easy to chant, but it's very powerful. It's the most powerful method. And it constitutes surrender to Krishna. When we use our tongue in Krishna's service, that's surrendering. Even just accepting some prasadam is surrendering. And a person who doesn't know about devotional service, if he accepts some prasadam, he's surrendering to Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada stressed prasad distribution. So the idea is to make it easy. Lord Chaitanya is very magnanimous and makes it very easy. But the policy is the same, surrender to Krishna. And to fully surrender, that's a gradual attainment. But full surrender is the aim. And surrender doesn't mean just to surrender out of defeat or to surrender out of a sense of duty, that I'm subordinate, so I have to surrender, I don't have any choice. But gradually surrender means full giving of the heart, like in love.
According to me, it can also mean that karma mishrit bhakti is also okay, jnana mishrit bhakti is also okay. You can do yoga, but just add chanting in your life. Is it like that?
I didn't hear you.
Not having full surrender means you are free to do
whatever
you are doing, but just add chanting to your life. Suppose somebody that is a yoga master, he can continue to do yoga, Ashtanga yoga, and he can also add chanting to his life because he is asked only to add chanting to his schedule of life.
So we are free to do what we want. Krishna doesn't interfere with our freedom. But we should be careful because we can be misdirected and we should know that we're bewildered. So to use our freedom properly, we better take instruction. In the beginning, the instruction is just add the chanting to your life and do what you're doing. That's okay. Again, a question?
Prabhuji, if I consider this sarvasya chahim hridi sannivishto and the soul is situated in the region of the heart to mean the physical heart, am I right?
Is the super soul situated in the physical heart?
Yes.
Yesterday I was at Bhaktivedanta Hospital and I saw a cutaway picture of the heart. So I saw that there are three chambers and there are three tubes. And there's explanation of how the heart works, a diagram, and an explanation on the diagram of the causes of heart attack and disease in the heart. But there was no place in the diagram in the picture for the super soul. Because he's not physical. But he's there in that area, in the heart. But he's not situated like I'm situated on the matter. This material body made of matter is situated on matter, but the Lord has no matter. Any questions about Europe? For the past year, I was in Europe.
You mentioned one capital, Riga, what's that? In the list of capitals, you mentioned something like Riga, what's that?
Riga is the capital of Latvia. Latvia is east of Poland. Poland, you know, Poland is a big country. Germany, then Poland, then you get Latvia, Estonia, and Lithuania. Small countries. The devotees have a big building there with a Govinda's restaurant. They have a Food for Life project. They have a store, temple room, some yoga classes. Even a Rath Yatra. Renovation of the building took place while I was there. They were renovating the temple room floor. We couldn't go into the temple room. The floor was being renovated. So the pujari was on the altar. That part was still intact. But the devotees would assemble in another room. Here you have big, big marble temples. In your heaven on earth building, you have big marble rooms. When Bhakti Bhai Baba Maharaj was here a couple of years ago, he said, this prasadam room made of marble in the heaven on earth building, this is more beautiful than many temples in Russia. So you're very fortunate to have good buildings. In Riga, I was on a tour of the capital city. I was taken on a tour by a bhakta who is a student in the UK. And in Stockholm, I was taken on a tour of the center of the city by a professor who is a devotee. In Athens, I toured the city on my own. I went to some of the important culturally, historically important places. And I wrote an article for Back to Godhead magazine called Meditating on Krishna in Athens. And this will be published in January. Another question? There's time for one more question. Prashna, Prashna.
In South India, near Bangalore, there is one temple of only Mahalakshmi. Much gold. Gold.
Old.
So the cost of that gold used there is about more than 500 crore rupees. And it was built by only one sadhu, and he must be knowing some rasayan shastra, means alchemy.
What shastra?
Alchemy.
Alchemy.
So he could not, there was no evidence that he collected donation about 500, 600 crore rupees, but somehow the gold was used in huge quantity in the temple. Even the entrance fee is 300 rupees. If you want to go and have darshan, we have to pay 300 rupees like that. So only temple of Mahalakshmi without Vishnu, is it shastric and is it, really genuine worship place, or, and how much, why such huge gold is used?
Is it shastric to worship Mahalakshmi without Vishnu? And why so much gold is used in a temple like Mahalakshmi's temple? Krishna says it's not proper. It's wrong to worship the demigods without Vishnu. And gold is nice. If you can use gold in the temple worship, that's okay. If it's connected to Krishna, that's the proper use of gold. We have so many material desires. We would like to have so much gold ourselves. All of us may want to have a house decorated with gold for ourselves. That's our material desire. But when we purify our desire, then we think, let me make a beautiful temple for Krishna, decorated with gold and silver. So that's all right. Srila Narottam Das Thakur recommends that we transform our desires. We cannot become desireless, so we have to transform our desires for a beautiful gold house, from wanting to have it for ourselves to wanting it for Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.